This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It's wonderful to be with you and to be able to worship the Lord with you again. It's been a while. I bring you greetings from the Shofar congregations in Namibia, in Walvis Bay, Swakopmund, and Windhoek, as well as Shofar Springbok. They all send their love. We had a wonderful time in the last few weeks as visiting them and being able to share the Word of God with them, but also to be encouraged by them. So many of them, the Lord has blessed them with amazing venues. Really incredible to see the Lord's faithfulness. But you know, more than the venues, just to be able to see how God is building His people and how His people are growing together. And you walk into different buildings and we are worshiping, we're all the same, we all experience the Lord's love in the same way. We have the same struggles, but the same God who performs miracles in our midst. And it was lovely to be able to, we drove up, and it was fantastic just driving through the Namibian roads. It's like a plot. You can, it takes you a few hours before it feels like you get to a turn where you need to turn the steering wheel. And it really was amazing and refreshing. So in between the work, we also had a lovely time as a family, just resting a bit and going up the dunes, quad biking and flat biking or fat biking. I don't know what they call it. Take you on to the dunes with those big bikes with the big wheels. And it was great fun and we enjoyed it. But most of all, it was just amazing meeting so many people who love the Lord and love Him dearly and love each other. And yeah, it was amazing to know this congregation also is going from strength to strength and in safe hands. And so thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for loving each other. Thank you for supporting each other. The Church of God is not a building. The Church of God is not even dependent upon a pastor. The Church of God is God's people. Amen. And the people who love Him and people who love each other and have the Spirit of God inside of them. And these last few weeks, we've been, I met a lot of Namibian people. By the way, this is like a word of knowledge and wisdom combined, okay? If you want to go to Namibia, please don't go the first day of the July holidays, okay? Don't do that. It took us about 4 hours just to get through the border post. So there was, patience was tested, all sorts of things were tested. And I had a tremendous experience of the Lord's unmerited favor because I forgot some documentation at home that I should have had with me. And so we prayed, and God's favor came through, and the Lord allowed us through. There was that, I told the girls, that, my girls, is favor. We didn't deserve to go through. Daddy forgot something. The Lord came through, and He was faithful. So praise God for favor. Amen. When we get things that we don't deserve, God is faithful to us and amazing. And we've been, when we were in Namibia, the guys took us to just travel outside of Swakopmund. There's a Swakop River. But the river hasn't come down in years. I think it was earlier this year, they had a lot of rain. The river came down again. Before that, it was 10 years previously, I think, before the river came down. So when they say we're going to go to the river, they actually just mean you're going to go for a drive into the riverbed. And there's nothing there except that in this river, it's still green, even though water hasn't come through there for months, sometimes even for years. It's still green. I was amazed by the resilience of life. They don't breed sissies in Namibia. They breed them strong people who love their 4x4s and their camping. And so it was amazing just to go out into the rugged wild and to see how people are living out there and to see how life can flourish even in the midst of very dry circumstances. And so the scripture has been in my heart from Isaiah 40 that speaks about us having to make straight paths for the Lord, to declare the year of the Lord's favor, to declare that God is at hand, and we need to speak to each other, we need to encourage each other, and we spoke to one another the last time I was here about how we can do that as families, how we can do that to the next generation, how we need to speak life, how we need to encourage our children, how we need to encourage our physical and our spiritual children, and we need to prepare a way for them. God gives us the responsibility, even as believers, as we're sitting in this room, there are empty chairs, and that means that there are people God is going to save and God is going to bring to us. And those people will relate to God, will understand God, will get glimpses of who God is very much through how we live our lives as well. God has chosen to reveal Himself through Scripture and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then He has chosen to reveal Himself through flesh and bone. That's the crazy, amazing thing, is that you are a living, walking epistle, a letter that people will look at the Brahmas and they will read something about God's faithfulness and God's grace and God's beauty. People will look at the Dariaks, or people will look at the Titus, or they will look at the Kritsingers, and they will read something about who God is. And so God asks us to live our lives in such a way that we're not stumbling blocks for people, but we make straight paths for people. So it's easier for the people who come after us to recognize God, to see God. And that's the desire of my heart as well. I say, God, I want to be a building block, not a stumbling block. I want my life to make it easier for the people who come after me to follow you, to recognize you, to see you, to understand who you are. And so we can do that in practical ways by the way we live, but there's also a spiritual component attached to that. And as Shofar families, we're going to spend the next few days and even the next few weeks preparing a way for the Lord spiritually. I'm going to get practical this morning as well. And so I would like us to show the video clip where we're going to just stand still a little bit around the Lord's call for us as the people of God to enter into what the Lord has given us, the joy of praying and fasting together. Okay, now, if you're anything like me and you don't have a lot of reserves, then fasting can be a life-threatening spiritual exercise at times. It just feels that way, but it's not. But fasting is basically giving your spirit a nice holiday. Okay, if you want to get your spirit into a happy space, give it a spa treatment, give it a place where it will rejoice, then fast. Okay, you cut away distractions, you cut away things that contaminate and things that pollute very often, and you go on a spiritual retreat. And fasting is one of the ways in which we can do that. So I want us to watch this short video, and then we're going to get practical around it. So thanks, Lawrence.
Greetings from Shofar East London. It's great to speak to you and share with you about the global prayer and fast. It's awesome that as a church family we can do this together. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but you've been doing everything in the natural that you should and could do, or mostly, and yet it still feels like you're hitting a wall. It's just like you're not getting that breakthrough. You're doing in the natural what you should be doing, but you're not seeing that wall move. You're not seeing that breakthrough. And I believe it's in those times that we need to truly pray and fast. It's those times that we need to call out to God and press in. You see, hitting the wall is an invitation to go deeper. And I believe at this time, there's an invitation for us as a church family to pray, to fast, to seek the face of God. So there's this scripture in Joel 2:15. It says, blow the trumpet, blow the shofar in Zion. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. And this is what it is. Blow the trumpet, blow the shofar, call a sacred assembly, consecrate a fast. It is such a time for us, for our nation, for our churches, to fast and pray, to seek the face of God till we see breakthrough, see those walls break down and the kingdom of God come. So for me and Sonica, for the last 7 years, we've been trying, trusting God for a second child, and still no breakthrough. You know, but I believe it's a prophetic picture for us of the bride of Christ. I believe the bride of Christ is barren. She's not producing the fruit that God wants her to produce. She's not fruitful. And I believe this is part of why we are fasting. We're crying out to God and saying, God, make us fruitful. Cause us to multiply. You know, as in Acts 9:31, it says, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So those two components, the fear of God, which I believe is connected to fasting and prayer. It's like, you know, humbling ourselves, calling upon the name of the Lord, setting aside days, crying out to God for our nation and for our churches and for our families and for our marriages. walking in the fear of the Lord and also the comfort of the Holy Spirit, because God draws near to, he draws near to us when we fast and pray. And then it says, and they were multiplied, not just God adding a few individuals, they were multiplied, they became fruitful. So in this time, this season, I believe God is calling Shofar to become fruitful, to multiply. So join us in praying for this. Join us in fasting and trusting God for this. You know, so we can ask the question, well, why? Why fast? Why pray? Says this in Isaiah 40, verses 3. It says, "There's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." A highway. So there's a voice, I believe, crying out for us at this time, saying, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert, not just a little pathway, a highway for our God. So this is the call. You see, you and I need to prepare the way. We need to prepare a highway in the desert for God to come. God is waiting upon us. God is just ready for us to step out, to call to His name, to fast and pray. You know, there are angel armies standing ready, poised, yes, ready for duty, sir. And so our angels are standing, waiting for us. And I think some of them are maybe bored. They're like, okay, pray. Come on, pray, fast. Just put out one day, just one day, to loose the angels, to loose the armies of God, to flood forth and to see lives changed and cities transformed. I think some of our angels are like, oh my goodness, she hasn't prayed in ages, not like really prayed. You know, he hasn't set aside time to break out of that comfort zone and seek the face of God. And like, I think some of the angels are like, oh my goodness, still nothing. Our angels are bored. Our angels, the armies of heaven are standing poised, waiting upon us to pray and fast together. And we will, I believe, see the glory of God come in our midst. So David, King David, in 1 Chronicles 14:11, he speaks about the God of the breakthrough. He says, God has broken through my enemies by my hand, like a breakthrough of water. So interesting, he says, God broke through, but he says, by my hand. You see, you and I, we need to do something. We need to get up out off our couches, maybe turn the TV off for a season, and seek the face of God. And you see, it's by my hand, by your hand. We need to step out and do something. So that's what this fast, this prayer time is about. You know, not just a prayer event, but a prayer culture. We need a prayer culture in our churches, in our lives. And this is our invitation. So join us for this month, one day a week, seeking the face of God through fasting and then praying. And look at the results of prayer. Isaiah 58, verse 8 and 9, it says, after you fasted and prayed, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. A whole bunch of things that will happen. Breakthrough upon breakthrough will happen when we fast and pray with a sincere, humble heart dedicated to God. And then it says, and then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, here I am. You see, fasting and prayer opens the way for God in His fullness to come and dwell in our midst. So let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's set aside these times, this month of seeking the face of God. I believe the results will be incredible. I believe we're going to hear many testimonies of breakthrough. So we're going to trust God in seven areas for breakthrough. The first area is intimacy with God and fruitfulness, that we will connect with God. Secondly, an awakening in the city and our nation, that people become hungry for God. Thirdly, that multiplication will come and that the lost will turn to Christ that God will bring in many, many souls into the kingdom of God. Fourthly, marriages and families being restored and made whole. Fifthly, work and finances, that we will flourish in the workplace and that we have breakthrough in our finances. Sixth, that for relationships and friends, that God would knit hearts together and make us one. And then lastly, to pray into the social area of our nation. You see, God is enthroned on righteousness and justice, so we're going to pray into the areas of poverty and crime and corruption. We're going to trust that God will intervene for our nation. So let's do it. Especially the first week, we're going to be focusing on these seven areas of breakthrough. I hope you're taking a few prayer slots, 1 hour prayer slots. Let's seek the face of God and expect breakthrough to come. God will hear our prayers. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you, and we believe it's going to be a really special and powerful season of seeking the face of God. Amen. Bless you.
Amen. So, all of our congregations right across South Africa and all around the world, we're going to set aside this time to really pray, and I believe that there's power in the synergy as we come together. And I want to encourage you at the information table at the back. There'll be sheets like this one with 1 hour time slots, all right, from 5 o'clock in the morning till 11 at night. And I want to encourage you that you will consider just to put your name down there for an hour if you want to pray a specific hour per day, or maybe you can just take 1 hour in the entire week. You put your name down there, pray about it as we go through the service, which hour it is you can commit to, which day it is you can commit. Write your name down there, and then we will send you the prayer points. We will send you some tips on how to pray and how to fast. But this is something which we can do together. And again, when you fast, there are different ways in which you can fast. Some of us might, again, just go on a negativity fast. So you, for a day, refuse to open your mouth when anything negative wants to come out of it. Some of us might be quiet the whole day, but you will not allow anything negative to come out of your mouth. A negativity fast, all right? So you just speak life. Some of us will fast from coffee or from the television. Some of us don't fast from your work. It's called putting leave, okay? Some of us might be fasting from food, maybe from 6 in the morning till 6 in the evening. Some of you might fast for the whole day, just do water and some juices. It's up to you. It's between you and God, right? Jesus said it's not a public thing. We don't go around telling everybody how much we're fasting and what we're doing. It's not for public acclaim. It's between us and the Lord, but it is a very important spiritual discipline, right? Jesus said when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast. And it is something which we very often have lost a little bit, but it is good for us. Whenever Christ asks us to do something, it is because it is good for us. It's good for our souls. It's good for our bodies. It's good for our spirits. Okay, and so we're going to tackle each one of those prayer points per day over these next 7 days. Today and tomorrow, we'll do the first one, dealing with intimacy with God. So God is calling us as a body of believers not to start just doing things, but he's calling us back to a place of intimacy, a place of just praying and asking him, God, stir our desire for you again. Again, just being in Namibia, I was so reminded of the power that there is in water, the power and the importance of the life that is found within water. You drive through the desert and there's nothing. It doesn't look like anything can live. And then you get to this oasis, and you then understand why an oasis is called an oasis. Because there it's green, there's life, there are animals in the middle of nowhere, there's this well with water, and there's life all around it. And then you understand why David would say, my soul thirsts for you in a dry and a weary land. And then I ask myself the question, does my soul really thirst for God like that? Am I really thirsty for him? And I think, honestly speaking for myself, I have to admit that very often I fill my soul with a whole bunch of other things. And the Lord has called us as a family of churches to go into this time of fasting and praying, not just praying for breakthrough in things and in stuff, but to pray for breakthrough in our relationship with God. In other words, to just turn our attention back to God again, to refocus on him. And so that's what I would love to do with you this morning. And by the way, I really want to encourage you, believers, that when we come together in church, that each one of us will make an effort to bring our Bibles along. Okay, you can bring your Bible on your phone, or you bring your physical Bible along, but let's not become comfortable. Let's not just become consumers who just sit back. We are so used to everything being done for us. And fasting is one of those ways in which we partner with God. We do something physical. We take a physical action. I think very often, you know, one of the great dangers is we can just come, we sit, we receive, we go. Fasting says, no, I'm going to put something on the line. It's like the chicken and the pig, you know, that each one made a contribution to breakfast. The one's breakfast was just a little bit, or the one's contribution was a little bit more profound than the other ones. Okay, one guy gave an egg, the other one put himself on the line. We need to give something. We need to, you wake, eh? You got the one, okay. We need to put something down on the table. Christ has done everything for us. It's nothing we can do to earn it. Absolutely nothing. But our flesh needs to know who's in control. Our lifestyles need to sometimes have a reshaking taking place and say, but tummy, you are not in control. this thirst and this craving for coffee, you are not in control. This thirst and this craving to watch every rugby match that's taking place right across the globe, you are not in control. My hunger for God is. My thirst for God is. My obedience to God is. And so I'm going to take you through Psalm 84. That's the psalm that we are going to focus on today and tomorrow in our prayer for God to come and stir in our hearts again that hunger and that thirst for God. And I'm going to share a few practical things with us as we do this. And like I've said, consider taking an hour. You can pray at home. We will have the office available, so you can come. You can come at 5. We have somebody at the office who will open up for you. We'll have the prayer room available. So right from 5 o'clock till 11 o'clock, we'll have a prayer room, and so you can come and pray anytime during that time. Okay, you can come and pray at the office, or you can pray at home. But what the Lord will share with you, we need to know that. This morning in intercession, again, we had that word from Ephesians that says, the whole body grows together. Everyone is a member. Everyone has a contribution that is crucial and important to make. Everyone needs to lay their stone in preparing the way spiritually for Summers of the West and for South Africa and for our families. And so I want to urge you, believers, at this time, to shake off any winter apathy, that the spirit of the duvet, and don't take massive jumps. Don't say, I'm going to pray the whole day, every day. Okay, trust the Lord to make a commitment, and then tell your wife, I've committed myself to pray that time. Tell somebody, your accountability partner, so they can stand in faith with you. Okay, so the first thing that we need to do when we enter into our time of prayer is to do what we've done this morning, and that is to enter into God's presence with thanksgiving. Okay, because it is out of God's presence that our prayers are the most effective. So I want to encourage you, maybe even take this golden oldie we sang this morning, Great is Thy Faithfulness. My dad loves this song, you know, and he would sing it, make us sing it every evening around. Feels like every evening, probably wasn't, but it feels like it was every evening. It's not an easy song to sing, yeah, but we would have quiet time, sit around the table after eating, and my dad would sing the song. We would have to sing along, and it was great fun most of the times. But, you know, there's something amazing about those old songs. Great is your faithfulness. You know, but God's faithfulness is only great to those who meditate upon it. It's only great to those who stop to think about how great it really is. Otherwise, the challenges around us and the exams and the sports and the pressure of the budget, those things become great. Because guess what? The thing that you focus on is the thing that really becomes great in your mind. The thing that you focus on. And the more you focus on the problem, the more you focus on the challenge, the more you focus on News 24, the more you focus on Facebook, the more you focus on all of those things, the greater those things become in your thinking, in your understanding. But great is your faithfulness. You know, think upon it. Even if just one thing, go into today and tomorrow thinking about that one thing. Think about, what is it? Is it your salvation? Thank God again for your salvation. Is it the beauty of having eyes to see? the blessing of having a home, warm bedding, if that is your blessing, immediately sets you apart from a large portion of the world's population, because not everybody is that blessed to have a home, to have a bed, to have a spouse that you love, to have kids. Great is God's faithfulness. Think upon it. Meditate upon it. Write it down. Put it against your mirror. Put it on your phone. Send yourself reminders about God's faithfulness. Okay, but enter into His presence with thanksgiving. And then what we're going to have is we're going to pray through these scriptures. Okay, so I just want to take you on just a bit of a journey as to how I would tackle a portion like this. So we have Psalm 84, and we're gonna read that together. It says, "How lovely is your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord, and my soul and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my God and my King. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools, and they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000, and I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." Now what you will find is, as you commit yourself for that hour to enter into the time of prayer, and you know, all of us have our quiet times, and I want you to continue with your quiet times, but what I want to ask you is that we focus our energies again, and we're going to use the scriptures every day to pray into those scriptures, to speak them, to have them enter into our hearts. And what you will find is when you commit yourself for that hour to pray, or for those 2 hours, you probably will not find the devil rolling out the red carpet for you and saying, "Oh, such a wonderful idea. I like it. He's going to pray. Let's make it as easy for him as possible." No, you will probably have all sorts of things popping up in your mind, all sorts of very important things to do. Now, something that I do very practically when I sit down, instead of just rebuking all of those distractions, is I take a sheet of paper, and I write them down, all of them, very quickly. All the to-do things. I write them down. I ask the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, show me. What are the things that are pushing heavy on my mind?" And I write them down. Write them, get them out of the way. Write them down and then give them to the Lord and say, "Father, I give you this list. All of these things that I'm concerned about. Thank you that you are also concerned about them, because it's my life and you love me. But I give them to you right now. And I pray that for the next half an hour, next hour, I will be able to focus on what you want me to focus on." What I have experienced is as I enter into God's presence, as I pray, often God would drop a verse or would give me a word of knowledge for that situation. And I would go back and I would write it down very quickly. And I found that works a lot better for me than just rebuking and just getting so religious and so spiritual that we wanted to disconnect from our lives. Be realistic. If you have things that are concerning you, if you have things that are bugging you, bring them to the Lord, write them down, but then say, "Distractions, I will not allow you to distract me. I submit you to the Lord's hands. God, I give this to you, and I bind myself to your purpose for this next hour." So deal with the distractions, okay? Deal with them. Deal with them decisively and make the commitment to the Lord. And then what you need to do is when we pray and when we fast, we're not trying to persuade God. Sometimes people say, "Okay, but you're fasting to twist God's hand and to get Him to do something for you that God doesn't want to do." Now, when we pray, when we fast, we are partnering with God. Okay, and so the best way to do that, for me, enter into God's presence with praise and thanksgiving, and then I enter into His presence praying in the Spirit. I write the things down, pray in the Spirit, so I can connect with God. Right? The scripture says that God is Spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, and so praying in the spirit is a good way for us to connect spiritually with God. All right? Otherwise, when you don't have the Holy Spirit, praying an hour can be a long time. Okay, it can become very tedious. But praying with the Holy Spirit, praying, waking up your spirit, because sometimes you've got to wake up your spirit. Sometimes your spirit hasn't been used to feeding on the word because you've been feeding on little bits of portions of scripture here, or maybe YouTube clip there, or maybe something which a pastor said there, and your spirit doesn't even know anymore how to feed itself. And then you sometimes need to jumpstart it. And Paul says, stir up yourself in the most holy faith by praying in the spirit. And the ones in God is of us. My dad had an old generator, massive thing. As a little boy, I would admire his muscles. He was able to just swing that thing. It's a big thing. I would try to swing it as well, and it would swing me just out of the roof. Big thing. You need to give it a good few yanks, massive thing, before the power would come. Some of you need to rev up your spirit, okay? And so there are practical things, but probably will not work if you decide to take the 5 o'clock morning prayer slot, is to continue lying in your bed, okay? That will probably not work, okay? So do something practical. If you're at work and you've taken the 12 o'clock prayer slot, it probably won't work just sitting behind your computer and trying to pray quietly. Okay, if your job is that hectic that they don't allow you to get up from your computer, maybe come, let's trust the Lord for another job. Okay, that's not healthy. Okay, they can't continue. Don't be a slave. Speak to your manager. But you need to have breaks. It's just healthy for you. But if you decide to pray during the day, a good thing would be get up from the computer and go for a walk. Okay, just go and walk outside and pray, or go to the bathroom. Very often I would go to the bathroom, to the white throne, and I would go then and spend time there with the Lord. It's just a break. The key is you need to break your routine. You need to break the routine of the flesh. You need to break the comfort of the flesh. Change it around. Maybe even get yourself a fresh Bible. Just do something different to get yourself into a different mode, because comfort is the greatest danger to true spirituality. Our flesh, oh, it craves comfort. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. I know exactly what's going to happen. I know exactly where I'm going to sit in church. I know exactly when the pastor's going to ask us to stand. I know exactly when we're going to sing the fast songs and when we're going to sing the slow songs. I know exactly when they're going to ask for words to be shared, and then I will sit down so long because I don't do that. I know exactly when we need to give and all of, the flesh loves it, because you don't have to step out in faith. You don't have to take a risk. Your mouth is dry. Oh, I might be wrong if I share this word. I might miss it. Or you might just share a word that changes somebody's life. You know, don't allow the comfort of the flesh to keep you back. Okay, and so do something different and think about it now already. Plan it. If you don't plan this, believers, I can guarantee you a lot of other important things will come. And I'm speaking to myself. You know, I'm an actual fact, I want to agree with Martin Luther, so busy right now that I cannot afford not to be praying. Because the less I pray, the more busier I get and the less effective I get. And I'm busy and I got a lot of stuff going on all at the same time, but I'm not always cutting edge. I'm not always cutting edge. I don't know about you, but I don't have time to waste doing stuff that I should not be doing. So I need to be praying. I need to be finding out from God. God, this day, I want to be on course with you. I want to be on course with you. And the thing the Lord is calling us back to is just reconnect. Okay, reconnect. And so then I would get to the word. I would pray in the spirit for a few minutes, 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Trust the Holy Spirit to come and fill me afresh. And I ask him, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Holy Spirit, I need you to make the word alive. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, my flesh is weak, but Holy Spirit, thank you that you are with me. Saints, the Lord didn't call us to make this work. The Lord didn't call this to be tough and to be difficult. He said that he gives us the Holy Spirit. And he said it's better for us that he goes away so that the Holy Spirit can come. Our friend, our helper. When was the last time you spoke to the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you asked him, even in your prayer, Holy Spirit, come and help me to pray? And Scripture says that we didn't know how we should pray, but the Holy Spirit helps us. He helps us how to pray. Again, so if you haven't been speaking in your heavenly language for a while, come, let us pray for you. Let us pray for, let us trust the Holy Spirit for a fresh infilling, because it definitely refreshes your mind. Bypass that thing here between the ears, pray in the Spirit, and have the Lord come and renew you. Okay, then we're going to take Psalm 84 today and tomorrow, and we're going to pray into this. Again, the first verse there says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." And if I were you, just going through this, I would either have a journal next to me where I would write down words that stand out to me, or I will take my highlights and I'll highlight it in my Bible. Okay? How lovely is your dwelling place? And that's the first thing the Lord will just challenge me on. You know, any place is beautiful and amazing and awesome. Why? Because of God being there. So your dwelling place is lovely. Now, I realized this again this morning for us in this room, the Whoop School Hall. You know, this place is lovely. It's beautiful. Why? Because God is here. God is here. You know, so I would thank God, and I would say, God, I thank you that there where you dwell, it is beautiful and it is lovely. But I would be challenged as well, and I would ask myself, Lord, do I understand how lovely you are? Or is your house, it's just, I come when I want to come and I arrive 40 minutes late, but I'm on time for work and I'm on time for school, but somehow Sunday morning we can't be on time. I don't think that pleases God. I think it says something about our priorities. Unless we are also late for school and also late for work and late for the movie, then I think at least you are consistently bad at your time management then. You have a problem, but not as big a problem as you have when you are only late for church. I think then you have a big problem. And you need to go and deal with that problem. Amen? I don't think we can get away with being that lackadaisical about the house of God. When we say it's God's house, we come to meet with God. Unless we say we're just coming to have coffee, then of course you can be late and just chill. But if we say that, how lovely is your dwelling place, oh God, then I think it shifts something in us, doesn't it? It says, God, your dwelling place. I wanna be with you. I wanna be with you. And so whether it's the white room or the white throne, the toilet, it's lovely. Because God is there. Whether it's my car, the only place I have to sit and have some quiet time is in my car. That car's lovely because God is there. You know, whether it's the boardroom, I've got to close the door, just sneak a moment in there, pray there. It's lovely because God is there. How lovely is your dwelling place? You know, when I read that first verse, it challenged me. And I thought, we busy, just we travel different places and you look at why things are beautiful. And we all have our own measurement as to why something is beautiful. And I realize what makes places beautiful is the presence of those with whom you share it. That's what truly makes it beautiful. And here we have the opportunity to be able to say, Lord, how lovely is your dwelling place. So I want to ask you, do you have a beautiful dwelling place at home? With God, the answer to that can be yes. But the Lord challenged me and he said, Heinrich, you don't really treat my dwelling place. You don't really treat my engagement with you as something lovely. Because there are other lovely things in your life. And so fasting would be saying this, I'm cutting away some other lovely things to reconnect again with a truly lovely thing. Amen? That's my sense. I'm teaching my spirit again to understand what is truly lovely. I'm rewiring, I'm rebooting, I'm resetting. And I'm saying, okay, other lovely stuff, just be quiet for a moment. Oh Lord, how lovely is your dwelling place. Oh Lord of hosts. Oh, there you can spend a while as well, eh? Lord of hosts. Not Jesus in a manger. Not the crucified Christ stuck on a cross. Not a dead God in the pages of some little Bible school storybook, but Lord of hosts, mighty one, powerful one. And then you can start thanking him and say, I've got the Lord of hosts going with me and say, God, I thank you for your dwelling place. I thank you that, and here's the other beautiful thing, believers. When you when you fast, you suddenly have a little bit more time to think on things. Because God's dwelling place can take you amazing places, can't it? Because it will take you to the place where you can look in the mirror and you can say, oh, you lovely dwelling place, you. Because who's God's dwelling place? Where is he choosing to dwell? Yeah. But when you're just slaving away to get to work and work your ninny off to make the money, you don't arrive at work and somebody says to you, you beautiful dwelling place of God. You're such an awesome person. If that is where you're working, again, come and lay hands on us then. That's amazing. But when you're busy just running after stuff, after stuff, after stuff, you begin to forget, because you're in crisis mode, managing things, you forget God dwells in you. And he says, you are lovely. God doesn't dwell in junk, does he? The Lord of hosts doesn't live in a shack, does he? He lives in a temple he has made with his own hands. And then you can understand that you don't have to allow yourself to be abused by anyone, to be misused by anyone, to believe lies about you. And so fasting and praying allows us not just to think differently about God, but it allows us to get a new appreciation for the miracle that we are. And we don't stop there often enough. We are miraculous, flesh and bone, yet indwelled by the Spirit of God. So much more than what our report card says, so much more than what our salary slip says, so much more than what people say about us. Praying and fasting allows us to do that. Then he says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And here I believe many of us would just have to say, as I did again this morning, I said, God, my soul and my flesh, you know, doesn't always hunger after you like this. Or it often does, but I subdue it. I suppress it, but Father, I come back and I just want to yearn for you, God. I just want to long for you. I want to faint after you. It means with my last strength, I want to be with you. I want to be with you now, like I want to be with you in a moment of crisis. Hey? I think you can all relate with me as fallible human beings. There are few times when you long for God as much as when your back is against the wall and you know that if God doesn't come through, you are in your chops. Then you long for God. Then you're desperate for God. Then we cry out for God. And God is so for us. He so longs to come to our aid when we do that. God, the budget, it's not making sense at all. God, my health, feels like I'm dying. Oh God, the marriage. And God loves it when we draw near to him out of desperation. But I believe that there's a place where we don't have to wait for circumstances to push us there. Amen? We can choose to go there. We can choose to say, God, I yearn for you. I long for you. And fasting is not starvation. Starvation is when you don't have a choice. Okay. Fasting is I choose. So I believe God is asking us to choose him again. It's what he's asking me. Heinrich, choose me again above your busyness, above all the churches you need to go to, above all the plans you need to make, all the crises you need to handle, all the people you need to pray for. Heinrich, choose me for my sake, for who I am. Choose me as your reward. And then Mike just shared that this morning with us. Couldn't believe it when he shared it. I shouldn't have been surprised. Of course, God speaks to all of us. Even the sparrow has found a home, eh? Even the sparrow has found a home, it says. And the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts. It says that God, this teeny weeny little bird, so vulnerable, has found a safe space in your presence, a safe place. And then we can pray and we can say, God, thank you that I'm safe with you. Thank you that I'm safe. Thank you in my heart. Because what keeps us away from intimacy with God? It's our fears. It's our shame. I don't feel that God can relate to me. Or I don't know whether he will love me because I've just sinned or I've just messed up. And we stay away from God. And yet he says his presence is a safe place for us. And then we can continue to pray. And we can say, Father, help us to make this place where we gather a safe place for the swallows, the vulnerable, the broken birds, those about to give birth, those who need to know your love. Help us to make this a safe place. We can pray into that. Okay, I need to hurry. I just want to give you a glimpse as to how you can pray into this. I hope it helps. Okay, to just go through this. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, and they will still be praising you. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Father, thank you for the privilege that I have to dwell in your house. And we thank God. Say, God, thank you that we don't live in a persecuted nation. Thank you for the privilege we have to come like this. What an honor to come like this. And there are no bombs going off. We didn't have to trust the Holy Spirit to supernaturally lead us to the same place like many believers have to do. They just have to trust the Holy Spirit. Where will we get together next time? We don't have to worry that our phones are being hacked. Probably is, but we don't have to worry that it's being used against us. We can come and we can worship God freely. Anytime I can grab a brother and say, pray for me, I can phone him and not have the secret police arrive at my doorstep. Unlike the believers in South Sudan and in Egypt, dying for their faith. We are blessed people. Blessed. And then I would take that and I would say, and this is what prayer and fasting gives us the opportunity to do as well. Take the word, don't just read it. Read it out loud. And then you say, I am blessed because I dwell in God's house. I am blessed. I am blessed by God. And I sing his praises. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. I would say, God, thank you that my strength is in you. Thank you that I'm on my pilgrimage means wherever I am right now, it's not my end destination. Okay, you're not gonna end up where you are right now. Gavin, you're not gonna end up, Aubrey, you're not gonna end up here. God is on a journey with you. Fasting and praying says, I'm making my 10 pecs loose again. I'm giving God permission to move me again. Oh, the flesh doesn't like that. Sumin, see like it, didn't he? I'm giving God permission to say, God, move me. Move me. Move me geographically if you need to. If that sense shivers down your spine, you are in need of a good fast. Say to God, God, I'm so secure here right now. I'm so secure. And I thank you for that. I thank you for my beautiful home if you have one. I thank you for my beautiful job if you have one. But God, I want to say to you, my job is not my God. My house is not my God. This town is not my God. You are. That is what it means to be on pilgrimage. It means I'm open always for God to lead me. Always. I think you will agree with me that is not just a one-minute prayer. It's easy just to say, yes, you know, God, I will go away anywhere. But when you sit down, when you fast the breakfast and you sit down and you think about the implications, sure, moving schools again, starting all over again somewhere else. God, could you really be asking that of me? Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. We just need to give him the permission to say, God, whatever. Whatever. Some of you look very worried. Then I'll end with this. There's so many more beautiful verses in that chapter. Verse 6 says, as they passed through the valley of Baca, Baca was simply it's a type of a very resilient desert plant. I guess so, it's a dry place. So if they make it a spring, the rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength, and each one appears before God in Zion. And there it speaks about the fact that when I'm connected to God, it doesn't matter whether I'm surrounded by the desert emotionally or financially or physically. I carry with me life. I carry with me life. I can release life because my strength is in God. And I go from strength to strength. 21 years ago, probably didn't jump up and down, did you, Mike, when you got the news? But your strength was in God, and he took you from strength to strength. And on that verse, some of us can think back to when we were weak and how we are strong now. Some of us can get hope that we are weak now, but we will go from strength to strength because our strength isn't in ourselves. And fasting forces you to acknowledge that in a very real way. And believers, this is what I feel God is asking us, to engage with the reality of our lives. Again, it's easy to say, my strength is in you, God. It's a little bit tougher when you've been fasting a meal or two or three or ten. And my strength is in you, God, gets another meaning, doesn't it? You know, Day two, for me, it's the toughest. Headaches, dizzy, get up from bed, not feeling very lekker. My body starts eating itself, whatever's left. It's tough. My strength is in you, God. My strength is in you. That's different from eating a McDonald's, thanking God, my strength is in you, God. No, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. You can forget all the stuff I'm saying. My appeal to you is this: get practical. Do something about it. Don't just be a hero of the word, awesome sermon and fasting for somebody else. You now know about fasting. You know about the power and the beauty of it. Take one step. Okay, one step. And I want to give you a few moments. You can read the rest of that chapter. It's a beautiful one. You can read the verses in John as well. Go and meditate upon them. Today and tomorrow we'll spend on intimacy with God. Say to God, I want to long for you, but I've got other stuff I'm longing for. I long for people to see me, to recognize me. I long to feel at home. I long for a husband or for a wife or all good longings. But God, I want to long for you. Turn my heart back to you. But right now, I want to ask you that you would close your eyes and that you would ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it is that you need to do in response to this message. Maybe if you were at home, no response was needed. Those of you guys watching are going to watch on the internet. Thanks for listening to this. You now have responsibility as well. Those of you in the mother's room, just because you were the kids, there's a sheet for you as well. Okay, where you can put down your name as well. Okay? But take a minute or two and just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what must be my point of action? What must be my step of obedience? Show me. Father, I want to thank you for this, your people. And I know, God, that you are the God of the breakthrough. I know, the God, of what you did for David, Lord, you will do for us. And there will be, we will have amazing testimonies, God, of breakthroughs in our lives, of things that you would have come to shift. And we will be able to say like David, God broke through my enemies by my hand like rivers of water. Thank you. You are the God of the breakthrough. You perform miracles and wonders for us, God. You're going to shift things in our circumstances, and you're going to open up opportunities for us, God, to experience your goodness in new ways. But Father, we understand that you've got a desire, and your desire is for us. Your desire is for us. And Father, we want to yield ourselves to that. And I pray, Lord, that right now, Holy Spirit, that you will show us, Lord, where the things are that are obscuring our view of your loveliness. Where the things are, God, that we are using to feed ourselves so that we don't faint after you. We can go a day, 2 days, a week, very often without spending quality time with you and be okay. Oh God, come and show us where we need to flush the system. Come and show us, Lord, just where we need to just drink from you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are practical. You know our circumstances. There are some of us here and you think, oh, just where I am right now, I don't know how I will be able to do this. Just invite the Holy Spirit into your day. Just invite, just ask him. Some of us, I feel, we are afraid to ask him because he will answer us. You are about to experience him in such a beautiful way. And you're going to taste of him. You're going to taste and see that he's good. And he's going to spoil your appetite for other things. And so you're going to taste him. The Lord told me this morning, some of you will begin to smell his fragrance. You will begin to just sense him. And it will be like a physical, tangible presence around you as he's going to come and even unblock your spiritual sinuses. Just get rid of all the blockages. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your faithfulness in this room, showing us, revealing to us, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. then if you have in your heart just the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, you know, he's shown you the glimpse, what you need to be doing, let's just turn to one another and let's pray for each other. Let's pray the Lord will come and restore, make new. It doesn't matter how good your relationship is with the Lord. There's so much more to God, isn't there? None of us can say, oh, I'm completely satisfied where I am with the Lord right now. There's so much more we can receive from him. So let's turn to each other and let's pray for one another that the Lord will come and give each one of us a fresh revelation of his goodness, of his loveliness, and will stir in us a hunger for him, not for church, not for coming to church and doing stuff, but for him, for our God. Pray for each other, and then I want to invite you to have a cup of coffee with us at the end. Some of your fasting from coffee might start now already, I don't know, but share whatever you can with us at the back. The Lord bless you. If you have a prayer need, if you need physical breakthrough, maybe you're ill, felt somebody here, you're suffering with severe back pain all of a sudden, I wanna pray for you. Okay, if you have any other need, come forward and we will pray for you. But let's pray for one another first. The Lord bless you. I pray you have an amazing, amazing Sunday. Remember to put your name down, please, the info table. Okay, any prayer slot, 1 hour. I would love to see you at intercession or just praying from home as well. Okay, bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.